is the greatest, what greatest principle are you living for? What greatest principle is guiding your life? What greatest principle is guiding your life? And everybody said, Jesus. do you have it on there somewhere? My title, I'm going to get my wife to come and read some scriptures for us. The greatest commandment. And some of you say, Hans, I think you misprinted that. It says, love yourself with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I think that is a misprint. What do you think? I'll get to that in a minute, okay? But what did Jesus say? Does he say to love yourself with all your heart? No, he says love who? The Lord. Let's read that in Mark chapter 12, verse. Jesus replied, the most important commandment is this. How about we do it together, guys? Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandments is greater than these. I'm going to get my wife to come and read whatever scripture. We're just going to roll. I want to read all the scriptures that's on there right now.
Whatever's next. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days, there will be very difficult times, for people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They'll be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God.
Keep going.
Next one. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way that I have loved you. If we love our Christian brothers and sisters, it proves that we have passed from death to life. But a person who has no love is still dead. Anyone who hates another brother or sister is really a murderer at heart. And you know that murderers don't have eternal life within them. We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. We love each other because he loved us first. If someone says, I love God, but hates a Christian brother or sister, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? And he has given us this command. Those who love God must also love their Christian brothers and sisters. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are.
Thank you, Janet. Let's just go back to the beginning, if you don't mind. I put down there, love yourself with all your heart. That, my friends, is what I see that our culture, in generally speaking, is living by. Love myself with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. But what happens when you do that? You are going to be an isolated, arrogant, self-centered person when you do that. How many believe that's true? When I thought of this scripture that Jesus called us to meditate on, I thought of Scrooge. How many ever heard of Scrooge? What did Scrooge do? He lived for who? Himself. He lived for what he could get, what he could demand, and he possessed whatever he put his eyes to. But relationships, my friends. What did he do with the relationships? He used them selflessly to get what he wanted, and he could care less about how he hurt them and broke them. That's self-centeredness. Let me share something more. What happened with Scrooge, according to the story? Everything changed on Christmas Eve when the Christmas spirit came, and to me it is a symbolic of the Holy Spirit. And what did the Spirit do? The Spirit took, I'm going to call it Cruz, but it's Scrooge. Took Scrooge, and he took Scrooge, and he brought Scrooge through his past. And how he had hurt people, how he had been selfish, and how he had caused relationship to be broken. And little by little, you could see how Scrooge got broken on the inside. Until he came to a place where he realized that the next step was going to be death itself. And when he died, his legacy would be nothing of all what he wanted it to be. And on Christmas night, he changed completely. And why did he change? Because he experienced God's mercy. But more than that, because his eyes were opened to see people as God saw people. And how did God see people? He sees them through the eyes of love. To the eyes of love. And he says to you now, love God. Love your neighbor. Do you know what he says in Matthew 5? Love your enemies. What a reward is there in loving people who loved you back? No, you're called to love your enemies. Those who don't love you back. Those who may even hate you. Those who even want to might slap you. Turn the other cheek. How many believe this is a tremendous call? Tremendous call. I asked the question, God, why do you want us to love you with all our hearts, with all our minds, with all our soul, with all our strength? Why would you want us to do that? What's the purpose of doing this? And my friends, the answer is that we all want to love something. But unless we begin to love God, we don't get over ourselves. We don't go past us. Why should I? Why should I love God with all my heart? Why should I give him all my affection? All my commitment? Why should I? He, my friends, is the one who holds tomorrow. He, my friends, is my Alpha and Omega, my beginning and my end. He, my friends, is my Savior. He is my Redeemer. He's the one who stepped out of heaven and found me in my mess and pulled me out of my clay and put me on that solid rock. He is the one who forgave me. He is the one who died on the cross for me. He is my Savior. He is my Redeemer. He is my Deliverer. He is my God. He is my friend. He is my eternal life. He is the Word of life. He is the one who can change you forever and make you what he created you to be. To be free from yourself, to become who God made you. So my friend, worshiping God and putting him first and putting him as your ultimate focus in life will change you to make you free from your past and become the very person he created you to be. When I was an atheist, some of you know me, maybe Janice and Gerald, they know me a little bit when I was an atheist before 100 years ago. I went to a Bible study and they talked to me about Jesus. And I began to see in the Word a man and a God who healed the sick, who fed the poor, the hungry, who took the little kids, who was in that culture considered just someone that should be endured. He took a little kiss and said, the kingdom belongs to such as these. He took the women and he honored them and elevated them to a place that their culture had never elevated women. He took the nations and he said, they are all one in God. There isn't just the Jews. There isn't just the Danes. No, there is First Nations. There is every nation under the sky are people who are created in the image of God. I saw that, and then I saw this too. Here is Jesus, and they dragged him and pulled his clothes off, and they shamed him. They mocked him. They beat him, and they put him in my place. They put him in my place on that cross. And some of you are thinking, oh, well, that's nice. Hands must have been really bad. I never knew how bad my heart was until I got saved. I don't think Scrooge discovered how bad his heart was until he encountered the Spirit of Light, the Spirit of God. I saw Jesus hanging on that cross, and that's where I should have been. Because of his great love for me, he found me, and he paid a price for my past, that I should have a glorious future, not living out of my past, but living out of my future with him. Why wouldn't I love him? Why wouldn't I bow down to him? Why would I not give him the praises if it's all he has done for me? Why wouldn't I? Why wouldn't you? Corrie Ten Boom. Remember we just read that scripture in 2 Timothy about what happens when it looks like it's going to happen when towards the end people are going to be lovers of who? Themselves. Lovers of themselves. I heard Cheyenne saying this. He said, why is it? Why is it that we have allowed a critical spirit to come into the church? Why is it that we think it's okay to come and sit and criticize the music and criticize the sermon? How many have ever heard that before? Maybe this is not happening in this church, so I praise God for that. But why is it that sometimes we hear this roasting of the worship and the sermon? What made we ever think that this was for us? What made we ever think that church was just to tickle our ears and make us goosebumps? Where did that come from? Where was that self-centeredness come from? When church was actually meant to be a place where he came glorifying him and telling everybody about what God had done all the week and giving him the praise and the honor. From where? From the heart. When we open our hearts and arms and say, Jesus, you are the one who holds tomorrow in your hands. I don't have tomorrow in my hands. You do. And I can glory. I can dwell assured. I can dwell assured that you have a good plan for my life. And when I depart from this earth, I'm going to be forever with you. He came so that we can be with him. Not just when we die, but now. Why do we spend Facebook or or Twitter, or I don't know what it's all called anymore. It's almost getting beyond me. But whenever they get some new thing out there, why don't we spend it declaring the goodness of God? Why don't we write on there how great my God is and how wonderful He is? Why don't we use every relationship and every opportunity to give Him praise and honor? I don't like that song. God wants to get us together. That's what church is for. To encourage one another. When we come to church, we come with a testimony. We come with praise over our mouth. We come ready to give. To give unto Him. To minister to one another. We don't come just to get something. Are you with me this morning? My friends, the reason that He called us to love Him with all our hearts is so we can get over our own selfishness and become free to become what God has called us to be. Corrie Ten Boom. How many remember Corrie Ten Boom called The Hiding Place? He wrote this amazing book called The Hiding Place. For those who are younger, she was in a concentration camp. Because, and hear me, her parents were hiding the Jews in the home. When the Second World War broke out and Hitler and his SS went into Amsterdam to capture the Jews and send them to concentration camp, her dad and her sisters took the Jews in and hid them in the home. But one day, one of her own countrymen told the SS what they were doing. Hear me. One of her own countrymen, one of their neighbors, went and tattletailed to the SS. As a consequence, she got put in concentration camp. Her dad died in the prison. Her sister died in a concentration camp. And when she was accidentally, well, it was not accidentally, it was God's plan, but there was an error. She was released, I believe it was 1945. The rest of the ladies she was with died. She went back to Amsterdam. The war ended. And guess who was hated the most in Holland? The people hated the most was not the SS. It was not Hitler. It was their own people who had collaborated with the SS. Those who had snitched and told them about those who hid the Jews and where the Jews were. Those who they hated the most. What do you think Corrie Ten Boom did? What do you think she did? She built a home. She built a home. To those who were now being persecuted and hated by her own Dutch people, she built a home for the collaborators, some of whom had also caused her to go into the prison camps. I don't know about you, but are you with me? What is she doing? Loving her enemies. And this is, I don't remember the exact quotes, but this is something she said. This hatred is of Satan that has poisoned all of Europe and causes hate and destruction and death. And to overcome that hatred, we're going to overcome it by love. Are you okay? Recently, if you look at the news, you see one famous person after another being put in being accused of sexual, what do you call it? Abuse, rape. How many look at that with disgust? I do. That's horrible. That's horrible. What is that the root of? What's the product of what we see on the news? The product, my friends, is we are entering into a very self-centered life. And you're just seeing the tip of the iceberg of what a life that is actually dedicated to self will look like. When you're dedicated to self, there is no respect of a woman. There's no respect of marriage. There's no respect of sexuality. Take it, grab it, and please yourself. But here is what I'm going to say. You don't overcome that by hatred. And I'm not saying, I'm going to have to carefully say this. I believe there's justice. You don't overcome that by coming to somebody who has done that and say, you know what you did is okay. What you did that, I will forgive you. You don't overcome that in that way. How does Scrooge overcome it? He overcame it by the Spirit who confronted him with the truth of what he had done and brought him to a place of transformation. Now, I don't know, but I pray, God, that we will not just sit there with condemning hearts, but we will pray that they encounter the Holy Spirit. That they'll come like a place like Scrooge came to, of repentance. Their lives is ruined. Whether they are it's true or not, their lives is ruined. And I'm not saying that it shouldn't be. I just say that God's mercy is greater than justice. If you fire me after this sermon, that's okay. I'm honestly, I have read these scriptures. And I can't get them out of my heart. There is something that happens when you actually enter into His love. And you abide in it. When you begin to look at people, the worst of sinners, very differently. There's two things that begins to take place. When we love God with all our hearts, mind, soul, and strength. Number one, we begin to live for more than just ourselves. And we begin to see people, lost, broken people through His eyes. But number two, He says, we love because He first loved us. Remember? And then He says, He lavished His love on us that we should be called sons and daughters of God. When you begin to love God first, He began to give you a brand new identity. I was just reading again Richie Dabbs' story. How many have heard of Richie Dabbs? He's a 6 foot something African-American, and almost 300 pounds. He's big. And he got conceived by a mother who was in high school. She already had three kids. She was so desperate for food that she sold her body for 20 bucks. And she got pregnant. She got pregnant. And her son is Reggie Dabbs. The English teacher of this mother felt sorry and adopted Reggie into her home. Went to the hospital and adopted Reggie. But when he was 10 years old, she told him how he was conceived and that mom had given him up for adoption. And so what happened was he felt incredibly lonely and incredibly rejected. And one day at a bus stop, there was a man with himself color, African-American, in a suit and with a briefcase. And he came walking by him. And Reggie didn't see him coming, so he just kind of touched him and whatever. And the man said, "Excuse me, Sonny," and put his hand on him. And for a moment he thought, "Man, that could be my father. That could be my father. He looks just like me." And so he forgot about the bus and began to follow him as he was walking down to the business buildings. And he walked through a glass door, and Reggie was standing outside the glass door and put his nose against the glass trying to see where he was going, and he disappeared. And he said, "For that moment in my life, I felt lonely. I felt so abandoned and so rejected. But," he said, "I knew I had a choice to make. I could live out my past. And I could become a drug addict, a woman abuser. Or I can choose to overcome that." And he said, "This is how I overcame it. This is how I overcame my past." He said, "One day I came to church. My mom and dad, my step-parents brought me to church on a regular basis. And then one Sunday," he said, "I heard the pastor preach about the love of God." Remember, we can't love if we haven't already received it. But that day he received it. He said, the pastor said, I want to tell you that Jesus loves you." And he looked right at Reggie sitting in the pew. And Richard jumped up and says, "Me?" He was 12 years old. And mom gave him an elbow and says, "Be quiet." And the pastor went right up to him and says, "What's your name?" And he said, "My name is Richie." And he said, "I want to tell you the truth. Jesus loves you." And this boy heard it, not here, but he heard it here. And that day he walked out knowing that he was loved by God, that he will never be abandoned, never cast away, that even though his earthly father has never shown up in his home, whether his earthly mother had never shown up, he knew then that he was never being abandoned again by God the Father. And he has spent his rest of his life. How many have heard him? How many? Delene, do you ever hear Reggie? Yes, because Reggie was speaking at a youth conference in Edmonton. That's how I got to know about him. And Reggie is a very motivational speaker, but he spent his entire focus on bringing people into the kingdom, knowing that God loves them. Amen. So my friends, the reason we love God with all our heart is because he first loved us. And when we love him and put him first, he guarantees us a brand new identity in him. The focus. Maybe go and get those little kids because I can feel this winding up here. When the focus is on God, when the focus is on God, you no longer is focused on who? Yourself. And when you focus on God, you end up beginning to walk in who God says you are. A child of God. A son. A daughter of God. But how do I do that? I love my wife. But I told her that more than just once. I told her more than just at the day of the wedding. I tell her that on a regular basis. Because when I tell her on a regular basis, it draws my heart into that intimacy with my wife. When I tell God I love you with all my heart, with all my strength, with all my soul, if I tell him and worship in prayer, in my meditation, I draw close to my God. Whatever you focus on, that's where you ultimately would go. Whatever you fix your eyes on, that's exactly what's going to happen. So my friends, fix your eyes upon the one who holds tomorrow in his hands. Amen. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. And I'm going to pray. Lord, you told us that all the commandments in the whole Bible can be summarized into two. Love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And you went on to say, love your neighbor as you love yourself. But Father, would you help us to love you the way you we need to love you, to overcome ourselves, to be freed from our selfishness, to become the very person that you have created us to be. Teach us, God. Show us. You tell in your words that we love because you first loved us. Would you make that love again so crystal clear to us? May we again see what you did on the cross. Holy Spirit, you are love, joy, peace. Lord, Holy Spirit, would you remind us again of how you redeemed us? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I know that they would like us to pray for the kids, so the kids want to pray for us. But if you are in church today and you say, Hans, I really don't know how to walk in that love. At the end of this, I'd like us to pray. I'll pray for you. And maybe you'll say, you know, I have fallen away. God doesn't fall away from you. But sometimes we fall away from God. And if that's you, why don't you make a step towards him today? Amen. Why not let your life shine with his love? Amen. Bless you. And there comes our little kids. Paul, it's up to you.
Okay. So this morning, my dad had texted, and because Cheryl was sick, and so he asked if Jill could teach Sunday school. And Jill just felt like she wanted to teach about healing with the kids and to have them come and pray. This morning is part of they're our ministry team. And so we've just been talking, while Jill was teaching them about healing and teaching them stories about healing and how Jesus wants to use us to heal. And I know as a child, some of the things I saw stuck with me for the rest of my life. You know, I often tell that story about how I burned my hand cooking hot dogs and how I'd put all my weight on that burner and like it branded my hand. And when we prayed, took my hand out of ice water and it's, you know, there's no scar and nothing. And I just really believe that God wants to use these young people and wants us to impart into them too, just a heart for healing and a culture of just believing in faith. And I believe that when they see God move in their lives, even today, it'll never leave them. They'll never forget. And so what we want to do is just invite you, if you have any sickness in your body, any pain, if you need prayer in any way, we've asked them to help us to pray this morning. Is that okay? I know one of the coolest stories, actually I think it was the first time I went to Bethel. They shared a story. One of the guys at the table we were with shared a story about, oh, he had stage 4 cancer. And he went to this church to get prayed for. And this young child came up to pray for him. And he said, no, I want one of the pastors. I want, you know. And this little child said, I want to pray for you. And he said, well, whatever. And she said, don't worry, I've got faith for you. And he was completely healed of stage 4 cancer when she prayed for him. And so the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in them, right? And there is no junior Holy Spirit. God gives a spirit without measure, right? And so these young people can connect with his heart just like anybody can. In fact, I think they do it easier. And so I just want to invite you this morning, if you need prayer in your body, to come. And we want them to learn. And we want also, as a church, we need to grow in this. And so just before we start, does anybody have pain? I just felt during worship just something in like the left knee, especially like even right below or right on the kneecap, or any kind of pain or issues with your knee. Yeah, okay. Awesome. Also, anybody? So I'm growing in this too, all right? And so sometimes I'm pretty vague because I'm not totally sure. Janelle, why don't you come too? This is good practice. Come. So this is just learning to hear God's voice and just asking God, Lord, is there specific things that we should pray for? And one other thing I felt, and it was just like a really quick thought when my dad was speaking when I was in here for a few minutes, as an eye, something, especially the right eye. Somebody have issue with blurriness or like pain or, I don't know, it was cataracts or some kind of condition in your right eye? Anybody? Okay.
I have this dripping right eye.
You have what?
Like, yeah.
A drippy right eye.
And it's your right eye?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So here's the thing. Especially when we are, you know, praying and asking God for specific words of knowledge, it's really important that you say if you have it. Because for one, it helps us grow our faith and know that we're hearing God. But it also gives God the glory. And when we hold back, sometimes we actually withhold the glory that he is deserving and worthy of, right? So we don't want to hold that back. And so Actually, we had asked the kids just before coming up here, and they have no idea. We haven't trained them in how to do this. We just quickly said, would you guys pray? And is there anything specific that you feel we should pray for? And one of them was we should pray for Jen's back, actually. So that's really cool. So, Jen, we want to pray for you. And so, Bob, if you would come, and Don, if you would come, and anybody else that has anything, I mean, it doesn't have to be specifically what I call, but any kind of pain or sickness in your body. Janelle, do you have something? Pray for one, all right? So, what's that? Oh, your knee hurts. Cool. Yeah, so do you guys mind just
we'll
playing
pray,
something?
You guys pray.
And we want to pray. So if you want healing in your body this morning, come let the kids go after you. And let's go after Jesus this morning. All right, so guys, come.